Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you toward your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 1 says this, "Now about spiritual gift, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant." Now that's not a word to make, he's not being offensive. Ignorant just means you don't know, right? So he doesn't want us to be in a place about spiritual gifts that we don't know about them. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6, or 4 and 6 says this, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Holy Ghost," capital S. "There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, Jesus. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God Father who works all of them in all men." So God's got giftings for every single person in this room that he wants to work in you. Do you believe that? Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 through 11 says this, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" That'd be a bad dad, wouldn't it? If your son came to you and said, "Hey, I want some salmon, Dad," and you're like, "Yeah, here's a cobra." Right? Or if your daughter came to you and said, "Hey, Daddy, I'm hungry. Would you make me peanut butter and jelly sandwich?" You're like, "Yep, here's a rock." Right? That would be a bad dad, right? Or if he asks for a fish, "So if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," compared to God, he's not calling us like we're evil beings, but compared to God, "know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" In other words, guys, if you want a gift from the Holy Spirit, just ask him. Right? He'll give you the gift. He won't give you a snake. He won't give you a rock. He'll give you what you ask him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word today, and I pray that you would enable this, your servant, to speak your word with great boldness. God, I pray that you would stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your servant, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would do inside of your people what only you can do. Do in them and through them what only you can do, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. And the saints of God said amen. Hey, before your seat, I dare you to go to two people, tell them they look mighty fine today and that the gifts are about to be in operation in their life. Come on, tell somebody. Well, some glad morning. Oh, oh. Hear that song. He broke the bonds of set me. Oh, it's all right. Y'all don't know it. It's okay. Y'all can be seated in the house of God. So glad everybody's here. Are you glad to be here today? Can you give yourself a round of applause in the building? That was weak, man. Some of y'all don't like yourselves. Can y'all give yourselves a round of applause for being at church on a cold Sunday morning when the Chiefs are going to whoop up on the Raiders? I'm a Raider hater. All right. So if you know anything about me, one thing you know about my love language, there's five love languages. If you haven't read that book, you should really pick it up, the five love languages. But the thing about me is that my love language, if you want to communicate to me that you love me, my love language is gift giving. Y'all missed a perfect opportunity to say amen. What kind of gifts do you like, Pastor? Anything that sparkles. I like sparkles, anything. Praise God. That's my love language. If you want to tell me you love me, you don't have to put anything in the card. Just write out what you think about me, and that tells me you love me because you thought about me enough to go out and do something about it. So it is a process by which I process somebody loving me. And so because I love gift givings, y'all know what my favorite time of the year is? Brittany, you're so going to be mad at me. But I love Christmas. You know why I love Christmas? Because I love to get gifts. And I love the culture of Christmas. Now, we know Jesus is the reason for the season. Yeah, but we just get to operate on the blessing of Christmas because of the gift giving. And so I love gifts. And when it comes to gifts, you have to have an understanding of gifts. Come up here, chop real quick with me. I'm going to have you help me. When it comes to a gift, the thing about a gift is, jump up here on the platform. Yes, sir. Everybody give it up for Chop. Chop must be sanctified because he's wearing the right shirt on this morning. The thing about a gift is it takes two parties for a gift to operate. The first thing is it takes somebody who receives it. Look what he did. He already started stretching out his hand. It takes the receiver of the gift, and it takes the giver of the gift. And so the Holy Ghost is the one who's in the earth, the God agent in the earth, and he wants to give you a gift. But you got to reach out your arms and take the gift. Now, what religion teaches you is religion teaches you to fold your arms, turn around, and that the Holy Ghost don't have anything. So the Holy Ghost is trying to give somebody a gift, but the recipient must turn around, break free from their religion, stretch out their arms, and receive the gift of God. Okay, so the next process to getting a gift is that the person who received the free gift that the giver paid the price to get to them, the Holy Spirit enables us to have the gift because Jesus paid the price on Calvary's cross to release the Holy Ghost to humanity. So now the free gifts can be offered to you. You don't have to work for them. You don't have to conjure them up. They are the free gifts given by the Holy Ghost to the body of Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, I like the gifts. All right, step up here to the top of this platform right here. Chop right there, right there. So now you, here is Mr. Jim Bob Christian, and the Holy Ghost has given you all these gifts. Well, what a lot of Christians do is they just carry around the box. They have no idea what's in it because they don't open the gift. They don't examine the gift. They want to analyze the gift. They want to be fearful of the gift. They want to overanalyze and be religious about the gift. But God is not calling us to analyze the gift because it's a supernatural thing. Our peon brains can't understand a big, big God. God just wants you to take the giftings, and he wants you to open the giftings up. Sorry, Brittany. She worked so hard on making this place pretty. All right, he wants us to open it up and open the box up there, Chop. All right. Hold on, don't let them see what's in it, because right now there ain't nothing in it. They have to use their imagination. Some leaves. Got some leaves in the box, Brittany. There's some leaves in the box. Stacy, you should get some leaves out your box. And so the Holy Spirit then wants you to open up your heart to be able to receive his giftings. Now, religion will tell you, oh, speaking in tongues is of the devil. Religion will tell you, healing is of the devil, which blows my mind. He comes to curse and to break you. He don't come to heal you. Religion will tell you that the gift of faith ain't needed. Religion will tell you that the word of knowledge isn't real. Religion will tell you that prophecy is no longer. But the Holy Ghost came to give you a gift, but you got to open up your faith to believe that the gift he has for you is the legit thing. So the next thing you got to do with a gift, the thing that I like to do, I like to open up the gift and I like to go in on the gift. Anybody else? Like I don't just set an empty box. I don't just set a box. Well, my wife's got gifts underneath the tree. I hope she got me these camouflage Jordans. I don't know. But there's these camouflage Jordans I really, 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 really want. and so when I get to Christmas Day, which I am just building up expectation for Christmas Day, I'm going to dive up into that box, rip open my presents, and put them shoes on. Them camouflage Jordan 1s, by the way. And so what I got to do is I got to take it out of the gift, the box, and I got to put the gift on, right? What a lot of people do is they just leave it around. They leave it laying around. They don't actually take hold of what God has given them. But today, before you leave this building, it is my desire that you take everything God has given you and to chase Jesus and to allow him to do in you what only he can do through the person, Holy Ghost. Come on, give Pork Chop a round of applause in the room. Okay, here's some very, 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 very important ideas about the gifts of God. Never seek the gift. Don't seek just miracles and signs and wonders and the supernatural. Seek Jesus, and then he'll release the supernatural to you. Come on. The Bible said that the signs follow the preaching of the word. If you want miracles and signs, then you got to seek Jesus. Don't seek the miracles. Don't seek the wonders, because that's how people get, here's a Greek word for you, that's how people get goofy. They get messed up. They miss the mark. They get weird. They look like they just stepped off a UFO ship somewhere. They look like a deer in the headlights. They get spiritually awed. How many have ever met a spiritually awed person? Praise God, this is a church full of new believers, and they're like, I haven't met one of those. Well, just stick around a little while, because I'm sure they'll come and go. And so we never seek the gift, but we seek the giver of the gift. We're not supposed to follow miracles. Miracles are supposed to follow us. Come on, somebody. Who wants the greater gifts of the Holy Spirit? Woo! Okay, turn over here with me to Galatians chapter 5. Here's point number one. I want to talk to you about the first set of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And I know this is up for debate. Some people are like, Pastor, this is not a gift. This is a fruit. But if God is giving it to you through the Holy Spirit, that is a gift. What is the gift? It's the fruit, which is singular. Now, I grew up in church. We had fruit cantatas is what they called it. And they had a plate full of different fruits. And we talked about the fruits of the Spirit. But that's not what your Bible said. The Bible said it's the fruit singular of the Holy Spirit, meaning one. You cut open an apple, there's the core, there's the seeds, there's the stem, there's the skin, there's the apple. Your pastor eats everything but the stem. Pray for me. All right, let's look here at Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of, capital S, Holy Spirit is number one, what? Love. Now this word love is the word unconditional love. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard for me to love everybody. Come on, when they hurt you, you don't want to run and put your arms around them and love on them. The rest of you just lied. It is not easy loving people who hate you, loving people who persecute you, loving people who run their mouth about you. It's hard to love them, but through the Holy Ghost, you can. So to me, the greater gift is the fruit. Yes, you can speak in tongues, but everybody hates you and you hate them back? Hello, somebody. McFly. Bueller. Anybody. Love is harder than speaking in tongues. Hello? That's why Paul said, you can speak in tongues of men and speak in the tongues of angels, but if you have not have love, you just like a gong cymbal. Bong! Annoying. You're like a flickering fluorescent light. Would somebody kill that light already? Love. Here's another one. Joy. I met tongue talkers who are not nice. They have no joy, Rob. You say to them, how you doing today? Praise God, good to see you. And they're like, fine. No joy, but it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Come on, somebody. Here's another one. Peace. How many times are Christians in a world of turmoil and torment because they have no peace? Christians, now listen, I'm going to say something. It's very controversial. Because I'm never controversial. He's laughing at me. I have no idea why. If you are seeking peace through medication, I once was sad, but now I'm happy. You're running to the wrong source. Peace like a river will flow when you run to Jesus. Come on, somebody. You can find a place of safety. You can find the eye in the middle of a hurricane. If you're in a hurricane in your life, run to Jesus and you'll find peace and tranquility. Come unto me, all you who are laborsome, and I'll give you rest. We can run to Jesus and find peace in the midst of a storm. All right, here's another one. Peace. Oh, God, help me with this one, Jesus. These are your people. Patience. Patience. How many has a ton of patience? Tyrone's mama got tons of patience. Lay hands on all of us. I believe her too, because she's a sweetheart. How many in this room say, Pastor, I deal with not having a lot of patience? Daylin stood up, put up both hands. I'm like, do you know what the actual word for that word patience is? That's NIV. If you go to King James, it's more accurate. It's the two words, long suffering. Suffering long with people. Ugh. I don't like to do that, do you? But through the Holy Ghost, you can. It's his fruit. It's what he possesses. So if you're a tongue talker and you're so filled with the Holy Ghost of power, but you have no patience for people, you ain't got much Holy Ghost. That was good right there. Yes, Lord. All right, watch. I got to hurry. What time is it? Oh, it's time for lunch. No. Okay, so kindness. Look at your neighbor and say, I want to be kind to you. Goodness. Faithfulness. Faithful to your spouse. Faithful to your church. Faithful to your friends. Faithful to the talents God put in you. Faithful in your giving. I give $5. This ain't no restaurant. You ain't tipping God. All the non-givers are saying nothing right now, child. They're like, can we go back to long-suffering? Pastor, be long-suffering with me. Please be patient. Right? Faithfulness. Here another one. Gentleness. You got to be gentle. Your loved ones have seen you go off on your spouse. Facebook, I love social media, but I hate social media. Huh? Why do we say things on social media we would never say to the person's face? Well, some of y'all would. I hear you. But we got to be gentle with each other, don't we? Gentle. Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Here's another one. Man, I'm not going to have time. Here's another one. Self-control. Right? That's the working of the Holy Spirit within us. So all these things, we should be further in all these nine things right here than we were the day we got saved. We should be more loving today than we were the day we got saved. We should be more joyful today than the day we got saved. We should be more peaceful today than we did when we got saved. More patient, more kind, more good, more faithful, more gentle, more self-controlled than we did the day we got saved. Boy, that's good preaching right there. All right, here's the second one, service gifts. Everybody say service. All right, there's exhortation. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm stirring you up. I'm invoking something on the inside of you for the gifts of God. The second is giving. That doesn't just mean money giving, because we all should be giving. That means you impart what you are into another, discipleship. The third one is leadership, to rule in a ranking order. The fourth one is service, to aid others in service. Alex has got the gift of service on him, I'm telling you right now. He is anointed to serve the house of God. Not me. He's anointed. Brittany's, it's on her too. She's got number 4 and 5, which the fifth one is administration and help. Right? You don't have to be in a pulpit to fulfill God's will for your life. Rob right now is operating in helps ministry. He's helping me sound better. He's helping me push the atmosphere just a little bit. Come on, push a little bit, Rob. He's serving in the house to push. Everybody say push. That's what he's doing. Okay, number three, the third one is governing gifts. Everybody say governing gifts. Now, these are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're getting to the power gifts, but I wanted to lay this foundation before we get there. Governing gifts, the word here for these gifts, the gifts in Ephesians 4, God has given us gifts to the body, is the word dogma. It's government. It's different from the charisma gifts. And you may have a charisma gift, but if your charisma gift doesn't submit to the dogma gift, you're not operating by the Holy Spirit, but out of your own spirit, and that's called witchcraft. I don't believe that. Well, you need to surrender your will to what you believe and get in the Word. There's five of them. There's the teacher. He gets in where the other ones can't. There's the pastor who's married to the church, the evangelist who sticks out above the others because he can read a phone book and people would just bawl and cry and get saved. He can make a tick on a hound cry crocodile tears and run to Jesus. Then there's the prophet who's not, he doesn't operate by gift of prophecy. He's a seer in the spiritual realm and he can see what God is saying to cause the church to repent. He is one who calls for change. He's John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a prophet of God, and religious spirits hate prophets. What they do to John? They put him in prison and they cut off his head. That's what religion wants to do to the prophetic. Religion wants to cut off the mouth of the prophetic voice because the prophetic voice is calling a church to repent. And the fifth one is the apostle who flows in all the other giftings. He's a pastor, yet he's a teacher, yet he's a pastor, yet he's an evangelist, yet he's prophetic. He flows in and out of all those different office gifts to root up and to pull out bad thinking. Y'all learning something this morning? That's the fivefold office gifts. Okay, 1 Corinthians, here's why it's so important. When Paul's talking about tongues and prophecy, he just throws this in there, 1 Corinthians. He says, let all things be done in decency and in order. How do we keep the decency and in order? Through the fivefold office dogma gift. Well, I'm just not being fed. That's not my responsibility. Mature saints feed themselves. Wouldn't it be funny if me and Josh went out to lunch today down here at Jimmy John's and I'm sitting there feeding him that Jimmy John's Slim Six? Here's your avocado, son. Open up and do your little mouth, baby. Right? You need to get manna on your own. Right? No, I do feed the sheep because I'm a pastor and that's what pastors do. But it's not my responsibility to be your lifeline. Otherwise, you're making me a God. I am not Jesus. I'm simply a man operating in an office gift. He is God. He is Jesus. He, through the Holy Ghost, is your lifeline. Run to him to get the manna. Oh, y'all should shout right there. Okay, number four. Here's number four. I hope y'all recording today because it's going right on TBN. Dear Lord, help me. Number four, the fourth set of gifts he gives us are the charisma gifts, the power gifts. You can find these in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11, but I only have 15 more minutes, so we're not going to read it. Please read it on your own. It's up there on the screen. Don't read it now. Look at me. I broke these up into three categories. Everybody say the knowing gifts, the action gifts, and the speaking gifts. There are 9 gifts broken up in 3 categories. Here's the first one, the knowing gifts. The knowing gift is the gift of discernment. Now, church people for years, I feel, according to scripture and what I've found in my studies, have gotten this gift of discernment off kilter. Here's what discernment means. It means distinguish between what's flesh, what is the Holy Spirit, and what is satanic. All right? And so it helps us to navigate things in the spirit realm. Here, listen. Over what we have authority over. Huh? So because I am the office gift dogma in this house, and he gives me charisma, discernment to discern the atmosphere in the room. That's my responsibility that he gives me to discern. Because I have to know, is that a wolf coming in or a wolf? Or is that a sheep? Is that a wolf in sheep's clothing? Is that a Jezebel? Is that a snake coming in the room? Are they going to harm God's people? I have to use discernment. And when I feel that red flag going off in my spirit, we got to have a talk. Because you ain't coming up in here wounding God's people. No, the devil is a liar. You got to go. We want all kinds of people. Anybody's welcome in our church except for Jezebel. She is not welcome. You can either repent. I will not tolerate you. Okay, watch. So if that's the knowing, then look at your neighbor, say that's the knowing then. So in your personal life, God doesn't give you the gift of discernment to discern the spiritual atmosphere of a church. You ain't over that church. I know pastors that are secretly struggling with a sickness in their body. Don't have the energy like they used to. If some knucklehead Christian going to come up to them and say, I don't feel like you're anointed like you used to be. I discern that in my spirit. Well, if they had real discernment, which they don't, they're operating by something else. Emotion. Huh? So you got to be careful that you don't abuse this gifting. Right? You need to take it to your own house and get your own house in order and let God speak to you what's out of order with discernment in your own house. Some of you, your kids up in their bedroom clicking on the wrong thing, but because you ain't connected to the source, the gift of discernment's not working to decipher what's God, what's flesh, and what's the devil. Somebody say discernment. I've heard people say, well, I got the gift of discernment wherever I go. That person right there came in. They got a lustful spirit on them. Okay, God doesn't give you the gift of discernment to judge people. What you're operating by is what the Bible calls a familiar spirit, because what's on you is a lustful spirit, and you're connecting to that person because they got one too. That's a familiar spirit, and familiar spirits are attracted to each other. That's why at church, gossips run together. I'm not in here, I'm just saying. That's why in church culture, powders run together. That's why in church culture, you got a group of people that start to rise up. I can't believe that they said that. I don't think they hurt my feelings. And they start, because familiar spirits run together. Don't look at your neighbor. Do not look at your neighbor. All right. Because if somebody truly has a gift of discernment, they live right. They're in the Word. They're planted in a church. Here's one for you. They're tithers. God won't give you a spiritual rich if you can't get your earthly riches together. That's Bible. That's what Jesus said. That's good right there. I'm going to take myself out for steak again. Number two. I didn't get through half that on that, but y'all get it, right? Number two, the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is when the Holy Ghost supernaturally allows you to know something. So my wife and I took Chop and Brittany with us over to Praise Chapel, and they had a guest speaker there who's one of our friends, Pastor Joey Zamora, and his lovely wife, Pastor Meredith Zamora. And they flow in the prophetic realm very strongly. They pick stuff up in the spirit very strongly. Like, they'll sit down on an airplane and start giving somebody what God said to them. Crazy words. So Chop and Brittany are getting ready to, we're getting ready to redo our entire kids facility, and they're going to take that over. We sit down, and they look at them and say, are you guys in kids ministry? I said, what? And my wife's like, oh, yeah. And I said, no, baby, don't tell them, because they're prophets. Let's see what they got to say. You know, because then if you tell somebody, it looks like you told them, and it wasn't God. So they pulled them out in service and started telling them up one side and down the other what God was saying to them. It was dead on what God's been saying to them. Well, how do they know that? The Holy Ghost let them know that. They pulled out Janae, who's back working in kids ministry, and they were like, my God, sister, there's a strong word on you to preach. There's a preach coming on you. And she, you know, she's on the floor bawling and sobbing, and God's really speaking to her. But that's something her and I have been talking about and discussing, and I'm getting ready to release her in 2018 to start preaching in this church. So it's a knowing. Here's another one. Number three, it's the word of wisdom. It's supernatural wisdom just planted in your head, put in your spirit by the Holy Ghost that you would have never had before. Let me give you an example. So for me, one of my main continual motif of prayers around here is that I pray all the time. God, I pray that you give me wisdom on how to build this church because I am clueless. Give me wisdom on how to preach the right way because, God, I am clueless. Give me wisdom on how to do what you put in me to do because I need your wisdom to build this church with the finances, with the precious people, with the building, with the administration. Give me wisdom. Please give me wisdom, Lord. So when that wisdom comes out, I love it because I know it's not me. So Elder always comments when we sit down to talk to a disgruntled church member, I'm like, hey, this and this and this and this, and all this stuff is just coming out of me, and it's not, I know it's not me. And after the meeting, Elder will say to me, man, your wisdom blows me away. Now, if I was an arrogant person, I could say, yeah, I'm pretty wise. Solomon ain't got nothing on me, baby. No, I know it's not me. So I tell them, that's definitely not me. That's the Holy Ghost because I ain't that wise. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the gift of wisdom. And we all need wisdom in our life, don't we? We need wisdom in our marriage, right? If some of you would seek God to give you wisdom, you wouldn't have to read every book you got down there that you download that you ain't even read in the first place. You would get wisdom on how to treat your wife. Hello, somebody. All the ladies should have said something right there. All right. The second one is action gifts, and I'm going to run like Speedy Gonzalez. Here we go. Number one is faith, the gift of faith, which is the ability to stir others up to believe what's not there. This is different from the faith to get saved. Everyone at salvation is given the measure of faith, the measure of faith. This is not the gift of faith. The gift of faith is different than the measure of faith. The measure of faith is given to us to believe God for salvation, that Jesus died on a cross and rose 3 days later. That's the measure of faith. The measure of faith is for you to believe that the Holy Ghost wants to fill you. That's the measure of faith. But the gift of faith is put on the inside of you, stirred up by the Holy Ghost, usually through somebody else, to get you to believe what you didn't believe. You're going to get that job. You're going to get that house. You're going to get that car. You're going to get that wife. You're going to get healed. That cancer is going to go. That diabetes is going to go. You will make it. You will walk into your destiny. You will be a person of purpose. It's that faith on the inside of you where you never believed it before. Now ain't nobody can talk you out of it. That's the gift of faith. Right? All right, here's another one, the gift of healing. Look at your neighbor and say, oh, Jesus. What's the gift of healing? The gift of healing is when something breaks, God touches it, and it's put back whole. The Bible said that his hand, the man with the withered hand, when Jesus spoke, he stretched it out, and it was as whole as it was and restored like it was before. It's healing not just to your body, though. Because some people need sexual healing. Some people need soulical healing. Come on. Some people need mental healing. It's not just physical healing. from the crown of our being to the soul of our being, heal me, Jesus. If you need healing in your body, I dare you to say, heal me, Jesus. Come on, say, heal me, Jesus. Healing. Number three is the working of miracles. I got said, listen, God delivered me from sexual problems that I grew up. I was molested as a kid. I needed sexual healing. Come on. We make these things bigger than they are, just like one little, no, he only heals bodies. No, baby, he heals everything. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. How many of y'all need healing? Stand to your feet right now. If you need healing in your body, soul, mind, Father, I pray for healing to be released to your people. In the name of Jesus, I want y'all to sit inside your mouth and say, Lord, I receive healing. If you need a miracle in your, stay standing. If you need a miracle in your life, stand to your feet. If something in your life, you need some type of miracle, stand to your feet. Listen to this. The third one here, and I'm done, is the working of miracles. Miracles is different than healing. Healing means to fix what was broken. Miracles means to cause to appear what was not there. Any kind of resource that isn't there that you need in your life today, you need it to be there. But you don't know how it's going to be there. You need the working of a miracle. Pastor Parsley, I reached out to him this week. I said, Pastor, can you please tell me the coolest, most exciting, most wow moment of a miracle that you've ever seen in your life? He said, sure. There was this little boy. He was just a baby. His name was Cody. His head was swelled up to the size widthwise of his shoulders. And the parents brought this boy to Pastor Parsley on a Sunday night. And they said, we need our son to be healed, Pastor. He was born with a condition where he has his brain stem to give his body function, but he has no brain in his head. And he said, would you please pray that God would do a creative miracle? He said, we sure will. They anointed that little boy, Cody, with oil, and they reached back out to the office on Monday afternoon because Monday they woke up and the swelling in that baby's head had shrunk. And so they called the doctor's office, and the doctor said, bring him in right away. They went into the doctor's office because actually the doctor thought he was like maybe getting ready to pass. They brought the baby into the doctor, and the doctor said, I don't know what to tell you. He actually went on local news and said this in front of a news camera. I don't know what to tell you, but the little boy who was born without a brain miraculously, somehow, a brain miraculously appeared in his head. I asked Pastor, what's that boy Cody doing right now? He said he's a career-driven man around our church. He's a career-driven guy. I still believe that every gift God wants for you, you can have it. You just got to reach up to him and say, God, I'm not seeking the gifts, I'm seeking you. The Bible said, Paul told us, encouraged us, desire and covet the best gifts. Now, I left the speaking gifts out because I really want to pinpoint and teach. We're going to talk about prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And there's all different types of confusion that are around those three gifts. We're going to talk about that next week. And some of you are either going to get a gift of tongue or you're going to be rekindled with that gift. And you're going to leave here knowing how to answer people who mock people who speak in tongues. Come on now. How many's excited about that? Me too.